Welcome back to The Bounce Back, Episode 3, heard exclusively on the WDKX Podcast Network. Now, here's your Bounce Back host, Adam McFadden.
Welcome to the third edition of The Bounce Back. This edition is dedicated to friendship and brotherhood. Today's guest, I have my good friend and brother, Andy Rose.
What's up? What's up? The juvenile bounce back playing in the back. The bounce back.
So I wanted to bring you on as, I guess, a representative of the Horsemen, Hired Bates, POP. It's a long list of affiliations that we have going back all the way to elementary school, just to kind of talk about friendship and the importance of that and what it can mean to people when they go through things.
Yeah, this dude, you listed all the credentials. Good God.
Well, I think people need to know, like, when we're all together, that we can be a little juvenile,
right?
And fun and giddy and laughing, because I think people think that I'm a very serious person, which I can be, but at my heart, I'm very immature and joke a lot.
Well, you know, people in life have different layers. Yeah. And, you know, it depends on, you know, where you catch them as to which layer you see, you know. But with us, you know, like you said earlier, man, we done been friends since 8, 9 years old. So, you know, we done watch each other grow from like boys to men, you know, having our own families and watching our own kids hang like we hang. Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And that's the wildest part to me, because watching them do what they do, you know, at this age, and I'm like, man, this is what we was putting our parents through.
Right. Like, dang, I should tell my parents sorry.
Right. Because we were, you know, the thing I appreciate about your parents growing up is they tried to control the environment. They didn't try to control us, but the environment, they just basically said, hey, if you're going to do stuff, stay right here.
Yeah.
Don't go out and do it.
But the funny thing is, like, watching my mom do the same thing to, like, the grandkids.
Yeah.
And, like, your kids. And just, you know, it's like, dang, that's how we look. You know, like,
right.
But the only difference is they don't get the consequences.
I think I got more beatings from your mother than you got.
You might have. Well, not beatings. I got more beatings.
Yeah.
You would get like the slap. Slaps. Or, you know, she'd hit you with like a little spoon or something. Yeah. Like, come here, Adam.
And I'm still getting them to this day. That's the funny part.
See, I'm the good guy now.
As soon as I walk in, I get hit. Like, dang. Man. So, you know, but, you know, I just wanted to go back to 3 years ago when the news broke and I had to tell the fellas about, you know, what I was facing, you know. How did you feel? How did you take that?
You know, I just wanted to be like the support system.
Right.
You know, I mean, whatever happened, and, you know, whatever was going to happen was going to happen. But, you know, you just wanted to make sure that, you know, you had your peoples with you. You had your people by your side. We wanted to let you know that, you know, as far as the kids, you didn't have to worry. You know, we were going to take care of the things that we could take care of on our side, you know, so that you didn't have to have that as one of your worries, because we knew you had a full plate already, you know. So we just dare to support, you know. I mean, that's what we do. You know, when I'm in turmoil, you know, everybody supports me, you know. When, you know, that's just how our crew is.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
You know, we like to say that we are like your favorite rap group that never broke up.
Right.
So it's a 8 or 9-member band that's been together for a long time. Most people don't know that we went to elementary school together, high school together, and even college together, away to college in South Carolina. And so we've traveled many miles, many roads, many things, just like story upon story, experience upon experience, the highs and the lows. And I'll say the one thing that, you know, going through this taught me was you find out who your friends and your family really are.
Yeah.
When you go through such an ordeal. And I have never questioned my friendship with the Horsemen ever in life, but it was good to see it play out the way that it did, because there were some people, you know, that are no longer around me.
Right.
I'll just put it that way. You know, it hurts to love people who don't want you, but
right.
I don't worry about those folks that I lost. I appreciate the folks like you, you know, and the rest of the Horsemen, some of my fraternity brothers, people I went to college with, high school with, who said, you know what, I don't care about what the situation is. you know, I got you.
But see, that's what a friend is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, we hear through the good and the bad, you know. Right. And don't think we weren't talking about those who, you know, were around and was talking around. That's why it's bad that Ev's not here, because he would have, it would have been, you wouldn't have been talking for 30 minutes. Yeah. I wouldn't be talking for 30 minutes. He would have ran down all the lists and he would have named individually every single person who acted like they were there, but then, you know, wasn't there.
He's coming, though. I'm definitely going to have him up here, because I think it would be nice to have him in DKX Studios.
Yeah.
Just given the history of Ev.
Right.
And that has never happened, but I would love to have him here.
And he's a great conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
You might have to put that on YouTube, because you know how he, like, when he do stories.
He's animated,
and, right? Yeah. So you don't get the full effect unless you see him rolling around on the ground and all that.
Right.
Shout out to Ev.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to say, you know, for me, even when I went away, I was able to keep in touch with folks. And I'm going to talk about all the ways that I was able to do that. But it was great to know that, you know, you guys never, you know, wavered at all the entire time. Anything that I needed, dudes made happen. And, you know, I can't put words to express my gratitude to have friends like you guys.
Right. I mean, well, you said it earlier. I don't look at you as my friend. Yeah. I look at you as my brother.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I said, we've been together since we've been 8, 9 years old. Yeah. And I think of everything that we've gone through, or every major accomplishment that I've had in my life, or every, you know, trial and tribulation, y'all was there for every one of it, every bit of it, you know. Think about it. I mean, through marriages, divorces. You know, just being teenagers having relationships, you know, Eros fronting on us, you know, you know, everything.
Selling us out.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, we knew that we had us.
And we had our own language. I was thinking about, like, some of the terms that we would use, like daddy effect.
Yeah.
You know, when one brother didn't have money, and when somebody else did, and we'd be out at a club or, you know, some party or someplace, and you didn't want the girls to know you didn't have any money.
So you would go to the guy on the side. You'd be like, yo, give me the money now.
Yeah.
So you don't give me the daddy effect when you go. You know. So what daddy effect is, like, you know, when your father gives you your lunch money or whatever, the money to go to, like, Seabreeze or whatever, and he gives it to you in front of all of your friends and stuff. You didn't want that effect, because if people look at you like, you know, you didn't have it, you had to borrow it from him, you know. Yeah. So had to get it on the side.
There was definitely a bro code when it came to, like, that kind of thing. So, you know.
Or if we just say, like, you know, yeah, we gonna go over there. I'm a runner today, you know, because our favorite group was Run DMC at the time, and you know, when you like a group like that, you know, it's always where you pick which one of the three that you are, and you know, you and me, we always like Run. We you know, because Run just had the attitude.
Until,
you know,
I met that mofo. Never meet your heroes. This is all I can tell you. Run almost got punched in the face, but very ignorant person. But then I met DMC, and that changed my whole opinion, because then DMC became my favorite.
Right. And then you learned about his story and everything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
But I just laugh at all of the, you know, different things that we went through together, our own language, the things we say, and then the people we come in contact with that picked up the lingo and they're like, wait a minute, you using our lingo.
And we never wanted to take credit for it or nothing, because we just thought it was just something just that we had.
Yes.
And then when you see or hear somebody else do it, it'd be like, yo, where you getting that from? You know?
Right.
But, you know, those were like the satellite guys, you know, the ones that, you know, like if we were together like 7 days a week, these would be like what I would say would be like the gym class dudes. They'd be only there from Tuesday and Thursday.
Right.
You know?
Right. They were like the C-list side actors in the movie. They were just around, but, you know, they didn't really have any speaking parts.
Right. But their name still came in the credits.
But I remember the summer of, I think it was 87, that was our Cherry 7-Up and Cool Ranch Doritos summer.
Yeah.
That was one of the best summers I think we had as kids, where we was at the pool, cutting lawns, going to City Limits.
We was everywhere, man. I don't understand how at that age we got around like how we got around. I mean, we just was getting into driving and stuff like that. But, like, it was no GPSs and all that stuff back then. And we was everywhere. When I say everywhere, we wasn't just local.
Yeah.
We was taking trips like to New York, Canada. You know, we just going anywhere. Like, what you doing today? How much money you got? As long as everybody had $10 to $20 in their pocket, rolling. We gone.
We was rolling. If I had it, you had it, vice versa.
Right.
We just rolling. And then back then, nobody was trying to live high on the hog. If you could get, you know, something to eat, you was good.
We basically was ballers on a budget.
Yeah. Absolutely. Then I think about, you know, we even had our little Kia boy phase. We weren't really taking nobody's car.
No.
That night we snuck out with the car.
That's different. It was my mother's car.
Right.
So it wasn't like we did steal, but we borrowed.
We thought we was being slick, and then the car broke down. So
it's funny how God he'll slow you down or he'll make you adhere when you don't want to adhere. I mean, like when we stole the car, we had it all planned out perfectly. You know what? Put it in reverse, push it out the driveway. They're not even going to hear it start it up. None of that. Now it's time to come home, drop the transmission. Like, now we got to get it towed and parked in the driveway. Oh my God.
That was the worst. That was the worst.
The only thing that saved us was a Sunday morning.
Yep.
And my mom went to church. So that she wasn't in one of them moves, but my dad was.
Man, listen, your dad, that dude was, you know, Rakim.
And that was the other bugged out part. We always had names for everybody's parents.
Yeah.
So we went from Rakim, that was my dad.
Ed Tutar Jones.
That was Rich's dad. King Avaka. That was Rich Chapman's dad.
Yeah.
Fish was Fitzpatrick's dad.
Yeah. The nicknames, man. And nobody got mad about them. Just the names. The funny thing is the fear I had of your father. Yeah, the thing about it, I never had a negative conflict or experience with your dad. I just was so scared of him. Your mom was the one beating my butt. I should have been scared of her.
Actually, she was the one
because
she was always present.
Right.
So if you had to encounter him, that means that he had to make himself present.
Right.
And so you already knew what it was. But
yeah.
I used to die because y'all used to think this dude was so cool. I mean, y'all think this dude is cool? Him? Like, because to me, that's, you know, that's my parent. So, you know, I see him as a disciplinarian. I see him as the one with the belt. I see him as the one, you know, punishing and beating me. But y'all just always think he cool. Y'all will come to the house and be sitting there conversate with him. I'm like, man, stop talking to this dude, man. Let's go.
Right.
You know, it's crazy.
You know, that was my introduction to Jamaican culture and food and music. And, you know, it's funny because there was a time where in Rochester, people didn't think being Jamaican was cool, and then all of a sudden it became a cool thing where everybody wanted to be. And I was like, where was y'all?
Exactly. So okay, I'm glad you went there.
Yes.
So let me give you my story of it. So growing up, it was always me, my brother Eric, and Paul Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we were Jamaican.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, our parents didn't sound like everybody else's parents, we ate different things. We dressed a little differently. We're different, you know. So people kind of were, you know. You know how kids are. They tease and stuff like that. But what they didn't understand is we could fight. You know what I mean?
So
you know, growing up, that was my thing. You say something, we gonna fight.
Right.
That was our thing.
Right.
But you know, coming up through the ranks, you know, we met real cool people that liked us for us, like, you know, the crew.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And It's just funny to me today, you know, where I had a person say to me, you know, if you're Jamaican, how come you don't have a Jamaican flag in your car? I said, why you don't got an American flag in yours?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's just funny to me how, you know, and really what really spearheaded the whole movement of everybody wanting to be Jamaican is the culture, the reggae music.
Yes.
So basically, you know, everybody was aware of, you know, Bob Marley and stuff like that. And growing up, to be honest, I hated him.
Really?
Yeah, because I heard it in my house too much.
Oh.
So I was always the type of kid who I always went left.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing this all the time, I'm like, you know what? I can't wait till I grow up. I'm never playing this in my house, you know, or, you know, but, you know, as you start to, you know, learn the history.
Right.
I appreciated him, and I like him now. But, you know, the whole Jamaican movement really started when Shabba blew up.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, even before, but before he blew up, I mean, you guys put me on to Ninja Man, Yellow Man, Barrington. Like, there are a whole bunch of, you know, people.
I mean, it was people that people didn't even understand. Right, right. Like my favorite back then was Super Cat and Florigon. Yeah, you know, yeah. Cats be like, who's Florigon? Yeah. Google him.
Yeah.
Look him up.
Yeah. And I, you know, and then a lot of folks don't know that you're cousins with Tony Rebel.
Yeah.
So whenever he would come to town, that would be kind of like a major thing at the house.
And Garnett Silk also.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, people would try to be friends with me to try to get to the tickets for the show and that kind
of
thing.
For the life of me, I don't understand how everybody got the house number that time. Everybody's calling, yo, can we get a ticket? Nah, you can't get nothing. Yeah. No. You know, but
I had somebody that I worked with that was friends with Winsome. Was like, I can't get in touch with Winsome. Can you get me tickets to the show? I was like,
that was because her phone was ringing off the hook.
I got tickets to the show.
And what a show. That's another show we ain't gonna tell.
It was a great show, but it was just funny watching folks. And then when they saw us like backstage hanging out, like people like trying to cling on, like, hey, you know them? Like, yeah.
You know, I just appreciated that, you know, back then that y'all wanted to learn about, you know, the culture and stuff. Like, y'all would come, you could attest to this. You guys would come and like be asking questions. How do you make this? Or what? I'd be like, yo, man, stop asking this dude this stuff. Cause, you know, but it's different for me because I lived that, you know, and that was a part of me from, you know, the time I was born. So, you know, like I said, I was always the one that went left. So I just didn't like it. You know, I just, because you hear something all day, every day, and it just seems like preaching. So I just didn't want to.
This is how you know I was in the family. Your mother used to go to the store and buy bananas just for me.
Still to this day, I can't. I'd be like, yo, why are you buying these bananas? We don't eat them. Well, Adam will eat them. Adam don't live here. Oh, man. And now you got my granddaughter into that.
Granddaughter on bananas now. Yes. Crazy. So, I think people need to know, like, when you're going through stuff, you have to lean on your friends because, you know, to isolate yourself is a dangerous thing. To not seek help is a dangerous thing. To not say, hey, to your friends, look, I messed up. I can't explain why I messed up, but I messed up. Right.
I mean, being able to just have them as resources, to be having somebody that you can talk to. I mean, like, our crew is deep. So it's not like, you know, we always group chat. We have a group text. We text, you know, every day.
Every day.
But it's always, to me, it's always funny to see, like the side pockets of the crew.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows their role. So, like, I guess my role would be, I'm the dude that just support. Yeah. You know, if you say, yo, this is what's going on, we need to do this, I'm always like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's my role, you know, but everybody has a different role and you know who to go to for certain advice, you know. So
yeah, and I would say my role is, I hope nobody ever has anything that happens to them in front of me because I go into protection mode.
Yeah.
Take it very personal. I do crazy stuff. So that's just how it's been. And I, you know, I kind of got that from Sean because he was like that too. And, you know, God bless him because he's no longer with us. I miss him a great deal and I wish he was still here.
But ain't a day go by, I don't think about this kid.
He was the sensitive one. And now Rich has turned into the sensitive one, which is funny because it was Sean. And it's funny how we've adapted, like, with his, you know,
accent. Well, so what happens was, you know, he had so many sides to him. That, you know, without him being here, everybody picked up a certain part of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I had Shawnee tell me the other day, because of the beard, she's like, you look just like my dad. And I said, I think I'm going to keep this beard now. I was contemplating of cutting it off, but when she told me that, I said, I got to keep it now.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I wanted to cut my beard off like years ago. My mom was like, no, it reminds me of your father. You better not. I'm like, dang, I ain't even been in control of my own face.
That was the funny thing about Sean and I. People really believed that we were brothers because we told everybody that.
Yeah.
But we have no blood relation, but because we was the two tall, light-skinned dudes that looked a little bit
alike. That's because y'all hung together so much. So if you see certain people all day, every day, and they're always together, they start to look the same.
Yeah.
And that's what it was with y'all. I mean, it's just funny to me.
Like, yeah,
or when we used to say y'all was a tag team, and y'all used to walk around with that persona.
Yeah,
like, you was a tag team. So that's
Varsity what Club. Yeah. That's right. And you was our manager.
Yeah. Kevin Sullivan.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I, you know, but his presence is definitely missed. I don't think it's a day that, you know, goes by that I don't think about something about him.
Right.
And, his death put a lot of things in perspective for me in terms of my relationship with you guys, my children.
Yeah.
Because we're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and, we saw his health, you know, take a turn. And I think, you know, it's caused me to take mine more seriously.
Right. I think we took it for granted that you know, we would always be around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just think about the day we had to go to the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it didn't, you know, it turned out, you know, good.
Right.
But I think that made it where we took it for granted.
Yes.
You know, because he was the protector.
Yeah.
So we didn't look or think that he wouldn't be there to be the protector.
Yep.
You know, and that's what, you know, kind
of
opened our eyes.
What amazed me about him when I was running for Congress, he was just bouncing back from a stroke. And he was showing up to the campaign
to
office.
And walking
every
and
day
getting the signatures. And
there.
The ordinary person that went through whatever he was going through would have never been doing stuff
there.
Like that.
And I'll never forget that.
Heck, he was there more than anybody, I believe.
He was. He definitely was. He showed up every day.
Yeah.
And, he was just that guy. That's just who he was.
Yeah, I mean, anytime anybody had something going on, he was the biggest cheerleader for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then we went through, we had to go up the scare with Akeem.
Yeah.
Now doing well. But, we thought he was going to be possibly the one to pass. We survived Dave's death.
Yeah.
I mean, we just...
Well, I really, like, leaned on y'all when my dad passed.
Yeah.
You know,
that
and
was rough.
And I didn't, like... I really didn't realize what he meant to y'all until you got up there and you started speaking about him.
Yeah.
And you were saying how that him and he was like a father to you and Sean because y'all didn't have y'all dads.
Yep.
Because that wasn't nothing that we ever talked about. Because when we were together, we was just busy having fun. You know, it was almost like life was surreal to us. We didn't have to worry about bills. We didn't have kids at the time. We didn't. We just only thing we worried about was getting up, getting up. All right, we about to get up at this time and we're going to do this. And that was it.
You're making me emotional.
But I mean,
take this sip of water.
Man, I'm just saying, I really appreciated that. And that was the reason, you know, it could have been several people from the family that we could have made pallbearers and all that. But, you know, the horsemen, y'all said, we carrying them.
Yeah. The thing about that, it's when I look back on, there's a lot of people that grow up in my situation where they don't have relationships with their dads growing up. I didn't have my relationship with my father until I was 28. So growing up, I didn't have an image of anyone in terms of being in a healthy marriage and being a father. Mm-hmm. But that person for me was your dad. So I can't say I didn't see it.
Right.
Because I was at your house all the time. I saw it. You know what I mean? I saw him go to work, provide for his family, come home. You know, be the leader of the house and keep everything in order. I saw that. And I saw your mom play her part. So for me, you know, that was the image that I had of what, you know, a man is supposed
right.
to be.
And the cool part of it is, like, when we started growing up, when we got, like, to 21, and then he would, like, just sit there and kind of reason with us.
It changed, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Changed. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't handling us with the kid gloves. Now, you know, we at a certain level. He like really schooling us and stuff.
It changed. That part of it. And I think it took a minute for my brain to accept the change.
Yeah, because you like, he set me up. Like, he set this up,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's funny because like I even think about like how he would like, he came to you when me and him had a little situation. He's like, go talk to your boy before I kill him.
And I was shocked. I was like, huh, you want me to go talk to him? And I'm thinking to myself, if you can't talk to him, what makes you think I could talk to him? But I went.
Because remember, right with you, I won't hear nothing you got to say about that dude. You know, but that was just me. But you know what, though? It was that situation was just me being like him.
Right.
Just trying to be like, you know, I'm not going to give in or whatever. And I was 100% wrong. And, you know, we hashed that out. And it was funny when we hashed it out. Yeah. You know, I was like, yeah, apologize and all that. He was like, all right. And I turned my back and was getting ready to walk away, right? This dude grabbed my arm and pulled me in. Bruh. He was like, if you ever. I was like, yo, this dude could have did anything to me, man. You know how, like, you know how you get the, like, in a movie or a TV show, you get, like, the crescendo and the music change. Like, da-da-da. Yo, I thought he was going to kill me for real right then, man. That dude could have lumped me up, man. He had the big old hands, too, bruh.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was, you know, he was a man to respect. Definitely was that dude, man.
You know, looking back at it, he was cool. He was real cool, man. He was real cool. But like I said, when it's your parent, you don't look at him as being cool.
Yeah, and I you know what I also think about is how we all got to Claflin. So
yeah,
Eric and I went first that first year, that first semester. Then Rich came the second semester. Then you and Akeem came. Well, Akeem came first. Akeem came the next year. And then you came next year, and then we were all together.
And it's funny because when one would come, like, so you and Eric built the foundation. Yeah. So, like, by the time I touched campus, it's like everybody already knew me.
Yeah, they were expecting your arrival. It was kind of like.
It was like when Ric Flair came to WWF. It's like, that's how it was when I got there.
Everybody was expecting, like, oh, you're the guy. That's the guy they were talking about.
Oh, you're the one they call Daddy A.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was just, you know, these kids from Rochester in this small black college town, Orangeburg, South Carolina, just running around doing crazy stuff, but getting our education, more importantly, being brothers and staying together. I mean, that to me, they could write a movie about that journey just to think how we just wanted to be around each other like that.
Yeah. I mean, just because that, again, we were all we had because, you know, we were in a small town, you know, the weekends would come and, you know, people would go home like every single weekend because they stayed within the state or the next state over. But with us, you know, we're 14 hours away, so we wasn't going home. Right. So, you know, we had to always, you know, make our fun and formulate relationships with other people from other places that, you know, were in the same situation as us. And now, you know, to this day, we have lifelong friends all over the country that we speak to daily and things of that nature that are, in fact, brothers and sisters to us. Yeah,
that are like spinoffs. Like if it was a TV show, they're spinoffs of the TV show.
It was a different world for real. It was a different world for real, man.
Absolutely was that. And shout out to Durbin and Carl, who... you know, came along during the process too. Carl, we've known since high school. Durbin, we picked up in college through an internship at Xerox. So it's just, you know, the crew is just the crew, man.
Yeah, and it is funny because nobody ever left. You know,
right?
Is it like I remember Shad used to say, "We the old edition of new edition." You know, so that basically that's what it was. You know,
absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for spending some time with me. Making this third episode special because I definitely wanted to dedicate it to friendship and brotherhood to just share a little bit about, you know, our relationship, you being a representative of the guys, just so that people know that, you know, when you go through stuff, lean on your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and true friendship, you know, I mean, out the crew, there's never been a day where anybody's been judgmental. You know, now we have, you know, real honest conversations that need to be had, and, you know, some things that we need to be told about ourselves that we, you know, we might not see because we're inside our box and everybody else is on the outside looking in, so they see different things that we don't see.
Yes,
but, you know, it's all out of love, and that's the basis of it. You know,
made
the
me
love.
Think about the time we try to do an intervention
with Sean. again, there's where everybody's roles came into play because when he was dead set against it,
yes,
I had to be the guy to go reel him back in.
That's right.
And it was funny because everybody, you know, you got to go get him. Yeah. So everybody already knew what the role was.
He was the only one that could do it. If I would have did it, it would have been a fist fight in the parking lot because that's just how we flow.
Yeah,
but with that being said, you know, I want to end that because now we need to have a part two to this. Maybe we can get Everett up here and E. Rose and just kind of make it something else. So I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, man.
Third episode of the Bounce Back, what it is. And
man, get the juvenile next time, man. When the crew come in, we got to add a juvenile.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.